Welcome to episode 24 of the TRF podcast. I do apologise for the slight delay in bringing the episode out. I had some slight technical difficulties in getting the episode out, but we're back and this is the episode. So in this episode, we will be discussing the Benjamin Mendy case, Kylian Mbappe's failed move to Real Madrid, Ronaldo's back in the Premier League with Man United, as well as the England qualifying game in Hungary. We'll also be discussing in the rumour section the Qatari rumour in relation to Arsenal, a Qatari-based prince wanting to purchase Arsenal. So let's get straight into the episode. So the first story, as mentioned at the top of the episode, is in relation to the Benjamin Mendy situation, which is an extremely, extremely awful situation. It's never good news, really, when you hear things like this happening to young women or anyone really in society. So Benjamin Mendy finds himself in a massive, massive spot of bother. He has been accused of three counts of rape and he's currently been remanded in custody. And typically in situations like this, no matter who you are, the authorities will not remand anyone unless there is substantial evidence in relation to the accusations themselves. Of course, someone is assumed innocent until proven guilty, but at the moment, it's not looking good for Benjamin Mendy. And at the time of recording this episode, another male aged 40 has also been arrested in connection to the same case. So it's not looking good for Mendy and whoever the other man is. Of course, Manchester City have suspended the player until investigations are completed. But it is an extremely, extremely difficult, sticky situation that he's finding himself in. And supposedly these accusations go back to October and August last year. So when he played in the Community Shield, Manchester City might have been aware of these accusations. It's not known that they were, but if they did, it doesn't certainly look good on their part. And I also think typically in situations like this, if someone of a high profile such as Benjamin Mendy, they usually go out on bail, but he has been refused bail twice. A court hearing is due for the September the 10th, and that's also including the second male that's been charged with the same offences. And one of the actual charges is involving someone who's under 18. And this is where things get really, really sketchy. I personally am not for it. I don't condone such behaviour. And no matter who you are, I believe you should get the book thrown at you if you find yourself in those kind of situations. You should certainly face a huge, huge punishment. And some reports are coming out suggesting that Mendy has certainly been struggling in prison. He has not crumbled as such, but he sort of got confused that they were going to send him to a VIP prison for celebrities and athletes. But he was being sent to the VP section, which is the vulnerable person section. And apparently he has not been having a great time in prison. Of course, this is expected. He has been someone who's been extremely sheltered. He's 27 years old. He's been a professional footballer for as long as you can remember. And this is a very tricky situation that he finds himself in. And I do hope these young ladies do get justice if this is true. And of course, we do wish them all the best. But this is a developing matter and we'll certainly keep you updated on this podcast. And the next story in the episode will be in relation to the return of Cristiano Ronaldo to Manchester United. So we know Ronaldo wasn't happy at Juventus towards the end of the transfer window. And the story is a bit complicated, really, or was a bit complicated towards the end of the transfer window, purely because he reiterated that he wanted to stay at Juve at one point. And then at one point, a bid from Man City was supposedly tabled and things were certainly moving in the right direction for him in relation to a move to Man City. But in the last minute, Man United came in and snatched their man. So we know that he has returned, has made the return to Man United, still to make his debut at the time of recording this episode. But he has retained or regained his number 7 shirt. And it was a big, big move for Manchester United. They certainly did have a good transfer window. adding the likes of Jadon Sancho to their ranks and Ronaldo coming in. So my main question really in regards to this Ronaldo move to Man United is, what happens to the likes of Mason Greenwood and Marcus Rashford? So we know that Marcus Rashford's currently injured, but Mason Greenwood has had a fantastic start to the season and he has bagged in 3 goals out of 3 games and he has been absolutely fantastic for them so far. Does it help him really in terms of his development working with someone like Ronaldo on a day-to-day basis? Most likely it will benefit him, but is this gamble going to be worth it for Man United? It's yet to be seen. But what I know is Ronaldo will bring that winning mentality. An image was circulating around social media and it showed Ronaldo next to Wayne Rooney. Rooney is younger than Ronaldo, but Rooney looks 10 years older. And of course, you know that Ronaldo is someone in peak condition. He has supposedly got a body of a 30-year-old for someone who's 36 years old. And as mentioned, he will certainly bring that winning mentality. The story itself smelt of a bit of, the move itself, I should say, smelt a bit of a agent playing trickery. So we know that Ronaldo's agent is world renowned and he certainly gets what he wants for his clients. So I do believe that he used Man City as bait and it wouldn't have looked good for Ronaldo to end up at Man City. His legacy with the Man United fans would have been tattered. And we know that towards the end of the deal or before the deal was concluded, former players were getting involved. So Alex Ferguson was getting involved apparently. And eventually the deal was done. So of course the season hasn't really started. We have these annoying international breaks at the start of the season in the Premier League and all around the world, but he certainly should be making his debut against Newcastle on the Saturday coming up. So it's going to be an interesting season to see how he gets along within this Man United team. They certainly do have a great chance of actually achieving what they'd like to achieve for a club the size of Manchester United. But as mentioned, it's going to be an extremely interesting one. Moving on to the next topic, and this is in relation to Kylian Mbappe's failed move to Real Madrid. So we know that Kylian Mbappe's contract with PSG is coming to an end soon. And we know that Mbappe wants to play for Real Madrid at one point in his career. And it looked like the time had come towards the end of this transfer window, which had been an extremely, extremely busy transfer window. Seeing Messi move to PSG, the likes of Sergio Ramos making moves. Ronaldo as well mentioned going back to Man United in the previous segment of the episode. But we saw a bid, a world record bid rejected by PSG for Kylian Mbappe. And to me, this was an extreme big gamble on PSG's part, because we know that Kylian Mbappe will certainly be a free agent and they are running the risk of losing one of their highly coveted assets in world football for free. And I don't know how this is going to work out. They're probably hoping that he will certainly sign a new deal, which might not be the case. He might then just walk away on a free, go to Real Madrid and get high wages. He's probably on extremely high wages at the moment at PSG. I'm not too aware of how much he's earning over there at the moment, but I can assume he's earning a lot of money. He holds the current world record for transfer as well, and Real Madrid wanted to go ahead and break that, but PSG said no. And it is a big gamble, as mentioned. Of course, this is certainly a developing story. He might end up signing a new deal at PSG. We don't know. But he will certainly add something to the Real Madrid team if he ends up completing the move over there. It has been a while since Real Madrid made one of those big, huge Galactico signings that have been known for over the years. Mbappe will certainly tick that box. But as mentioned, it is a developing story and we'll certainly keep you updated on the podcast. And the next story in this episode is in relation to the England World Cup qualifying game that took place in Hungary. And of course, I'm sure a lot of you are aware of what's taking place over there. So apart from the footballing side of things, the scenes were absolutely awful in Hungary. Hungary is known for having fans that are, not to obviously sugarcoat this as such, but their fans are racist, to put it plain and simple. And Raheem Sterling was the target of those racists on this occasion. And of course, from the moment the game started, England players obviously took the knee, which is something they have been doing for over a year now, since those BLM protests kicked off around the world. And to me, I believe this is something that needs to be carried on, to keep sending the message out there to people to say we're not going to stand for this any further. And as mentioned, Hungary are renowned and have had previous occurrences of racist behaviour. So they've actually come back from a no-fan ban that was imposed on them recently for similar behaviour. And UEFA fined them €80,000, which is not a lot at all. And it's not something that's hard-hitting. It just means that the FA, the Hungarian FA, will pay that €80,000. And it's probably pittance to them, and their fans won't get the message. Even though they'd obviously missed out on a couple of games seeing their team play, the national team play, they will still continue with that behaviour. So in relation to this game, as mentioned, it all started just before kickoff of taking the knee. A lot of noises, a lot of boos, monkey chants coming out in the stands. And at that point, I just knew that we're in for a bad one in that particular game. Fast forward, Raheem Sterling scores, and he gets a lot of stuff chucked at him. He goes out celebrating the corner, and the celebration was quite sweet from Raheem Sterling, because it was a dedication to his friend, who was a Twitch streamer, apparently, who had passed away recently, and it was a t-shirt with a nice message on it, and I'm sure his family would have found that touching, and his friends, etc. And that whole moment was tarred. But what happened from the stands, from the Hungarian fans, it was an awful, awful scene. A lot of cups, coins being thrown at Raheem Sterling. But credit to the England team, they immediately surrounded Raheem Sterling to shelter him from what was going on. And at one point, Jack Grealish did pick up one of the cups that had been thrown at the stands and essentially just started sipping out of that cup. Of course, not the smartest thing to do during a global pandemic. But it showed that they're together and they are supportive of each other. And the comments that Harry Kane made after the game suggested that they are standing together as a team, and they are with Raheem Sterling and any other players that may face such behaviour from opposition fans. And it was good to see that the team are together in that sense. But of course, the scenes from the Hungarian fans were very, very awful. Should it be condoned? What I think should then happen from here is UEFA needs to impose a very, very big fine on them, in the millions, I should say, not €80,000. They'll just pay that off like it's nothing. They need to have a 10-game ban, no fans in the stands, and at least €1 million+ fine. And that will make sure that they will enforce the rules, that anyone misbehaving will not be allowed to attend the games. There's no reason for these kind of people to be attending games nowadays, because we have fantastic CCTV. They'll be able to pinpoint exactly who was making the chants, the gesturing, monkey gestures, etc. And it won't be difficult for them to pinpoint these individuals. But we still see this behaviour continue. We don't need to see this in 2021. Hopefully UEFA will come down on them and we won't see this continue. But as mentioned, it's 2021, and unfortunately we still expect this kind of behaviour from these kind of places. And the final story in this episode is in relation to a rumour, and this is the rumour section, and it's in relation to a takeover bid for Arsenal from the Qatari-based Qatar Sports Investment Group, who currently own PSG. So in the summer, we had rumblings with the Spotify owner wanting to purchase Arsenal, but unfortunately, the Arsenal owner, Stan Kroenke, is not willing to budge, and the amount on offer is an extremely huge amount from Spotify. Really, the Spotify owner, I should say, was about £2 billion, and he still went budging on that. But rumours started to circulate at some point last week in relation to the Qatar Sports Investment Group wanting to purchase Arsenal. So, of course, we know that they've got extremely deep pockets. They are already involved with PSG, and we know that they are willing to spend money. And we know Arsenal fans have been unhappy with the ownership and the way the club has been run over the years now. And for a number of years, we've seen protests, we've seen attempted boycotts. And though Arsenal have spent the most money in this transfer window, people are still not convinced. The fans are still not convinced. So an article that came out in relation to this suggested that rumours on social media this week spread out about a possible Qatari bid for the club, with Twitter accounts supposedly connected to Qatar Sports Investments fueling the fire. But other reports suggest that the perception that these accounts are closely associated to the QSI is a source of considerable frustration to the administration. As is so often true in these cases, it looks like people are using Arsenal's name to generate a buzz and excitement with nothing concrete to back the hype up. Arsenal fans are obviously a vulnerable target at the moment as they watch their team fall to 20th in the Premier League with a feeling of pessimism surrounding the club. No better time to pretend that some rich owners are about to take over and solve your team's problems. So of course, as that article suggests, that Arsenal fans are an easy target and we want out of the current ownership. But if these rumours were to be true, I do believe it would be the best thing moving forward for Arsenal Football Club. Of course, there are some people in some corners of football, of the footballing world, that may argue that the Qatar money is not good for football. Essentially, they are taking over world football, but what they bring is deep pockets, and that's what fans want to see. They want to see money being spent, and that is the bottom line of that, and it will make Arsenal a competitive team yet again. Of course, there are still things that will need to be sorted out within the management itself and the core of the club, but once you have that initial investment, I do believe things will start moving in the right direction. But as suggested, this is just a rumour. Will it emerge again? We don't know. And if it does, then fingers crossed it turns out to be a true rumour. So let's just recap on this particular episode. In today's episode, we have spoken about Benjamin Mendy's case, CR7 back to Man United, Kylian Mbappe's failed move to Real Madrid, the England World Cup qualifying game in Hungary, and finally, in the rumour section, the Qatar bid for Arsenal. So if you're listening to this podcast on whatever platform you're listening to, please do make sure you do subscribe. It's been your host, TC. Thank you so much for listening.